God is so awesome. He's so amazing. He's so wonderful. All that he does, all that he accomplishes in us and through us, and so many awesome, awesome manifestations of the love of God are experienced day after day, year after year, decade after decade, even century after century. And God is moving throughout all of the history of the earth to make his love known to his people. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that awesome? That God doesn't get tired. He doesn't become impatient. He's able to wait through even our own stubbornness. And he is able to still show love. We get to the point where we're like, but God says, now, now, I didn't choke you. And so God is able to model the way for us, and he is the example that we all must follow. Our desire is to be like him. Our desire is to experience all that he is and all that he is doing. Hallelujah. And that's what we are talking about these days. We're talking about how nothing is impossible with God.
Hallelujah.
And sometimes we look at ourselves and we're disgusted even with our own selves. But God says, don't worry. I'm doing a work in you. I am changing you. I'm transforming you. I'm molding you. I'm shaping you. I know that it doesn't seem like it's going to happen, but believe me, nothing is impossible with God. And as we submit ourselves to him, he arises in us. He strengthens himself in us, and he begins to eventually overflow out of us. And we begin to live in the overflow of what God is doing, of what God has done. And everything that we experience in life is a manifestation of the work that's taken place within us. And so we are working towards God's portrait, a picture of him, an example of who God is. And we are moving and being molded and shaped into who he is and what he looks like. And ultimately, we are the children of God, and we will look like Jesus. Not that our faces will all change and we'll all look like copies of Jesus, but what it means is that we will have the attributes of God. We will be who we are. God has created us to be. We will be the very personalities that we are. Isn't that great? God is not trying to change you into someone else. He's just trying to get your attributes to align with him so that you can have the fruit of the Spirit as an identifying factor of who you are in Christ. And so we are talking about today living in the overflow as part of this series regarding nothing being impossible with God. And as God is doing a work in us, God is transforming us, we need to realize that we must change all the time.
Yeah.
We must change. God, he doesn't change, but we do. We have to change because we are the ones who are like our former father. And now we have been adopted into the family of God. And now we have a new set of principles to live by. We have a new identifying manner that we must come under and submit ourselves to. And so the transformation must take place. We must be changed. Old things have to pass away, and all things must become new. We cannot stay the same. If God is working in us and God is manifesting himself in our life, then we will continuously be change until one day we become like him. And we are in the process of being molded and shaped into the image of God. And that all is happening because of the God, because God loves us. He could scrap us and say, I'll just start all over. Do it in a way where people won't have free will, where they'll have to do it the way I want them to do it. They'll have to form to the ways that I've created things to work, like everything else in the world works. All of the things that God has created, even in the heavenlies, they are all done in a way where they fall in line with the order of God. And God gives man the opportunity to choose. You will choose this day who you will serve. You can serve God, or you can serve the people and the nations of the cultures around you. You can become like them, or you can come into the image of God. You can be molded into who God has called us to be, grafted, even transformed by the power of the Spirit of the Lord. So today we will begin in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. As we look at verse 12, it says, and may the Lord cause you to increase and abound or overflow in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you. God has called us to overflow with love. It is the love of God that enables us to carry out the manifestations of God. Without God's love filling you up, you cannot manifest the ways of the Lord. You cannot represent the kingdom of God. You cannot represent all that God is trying to do in the earth, because everything God is doing is coming out of the fountain of love that is within himself. It is who God is. God is indeed love. And so I would like to use as a title today the Lover Flow. Hallelujah. The Lover Flow. The Love Overflow. The overflow of love that God is stirring in the earth, in the world, and even within us. Without the love of God, you cannot say that you belong to God. You cannot say that you know him. But I tell you, when you are filled with the Spirit, you are filled with love. You are filled with all that God has so that we can accomplish the impossible in God. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask, God, that you would manifest yourself among us, that you would arise in the midst of us, and that you would show yourself again and again and again. Enable us, O Lord, to demonstrate your love and to allow the people who we encounter throughout the week experience your presence in a powerful way as we overflow in the attributes of God. Lord, we ask that you would enable us to be so filled with your word, so filled with your presence, that we can only overflow in the attributes of God: love, patience, kindness, gentleness, peace, and long-suffering, all these things in any and every situation that we would face. In Jesus' name we pray and we give you thanks, O Lord. Amen. 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 The overflow is what we need. It is an overflow of the Spirit of God, of the presence of God himself, in order for someone to overflow or something to overflow, as we discussed last week. It is important to first fill it up. And nothing can overflow unless it first is being poured into. Things must go in, and as it goes in, it cannot stop. It must continually be poured in, continuously, continuously, continuously. This is why the scripture says, pray without ceasing. This is why the word of God says, meditate on his word day and night. It's the constant inpouring or infilling, constantly filling yourself up, constantly allowing God to pour into you. And we're praying, and as we pray, we are being displaced of anything that is not of God, and it's overflowing out of us as new is poured in. God begins to mold us, and he begins to shape us into the image of God. You know, hallelujah.
To those who have ears to hear and eyes to see, lift up your eyes, clean out your ears, and remember, no matter who you're pulling or pushing for, or even if you don't care for any of them, remember, fill your minds with the truth of God. For we have been called to be ambassadors. Ambassadors of the one true King. A King whose parables reminded us that our neighbor may look and think differently, but we still need to love him. A King who talked of power coming from weakness. A King who said that peacemakers are truly children of God. A King who turned the laws of the world on its head. A King who could have commanded his army of angels to wage war against his enemies, but instead gave himself to the cross. Our King showed us that changing the world has nothing to do with political power. So remember, because we are joint heirs with Christ, our power is not tied to money, fame, or politics. Our power comes from the Creator of the universe, and He has given us the voice in this world, a voice to change the world. And our voice is strongest when God's voice speaks through us. Our voice is loudest when we are quiet before the Father. Our voice is the boldest when we humble ourselves to God. Our voice is the most influential when we swallow up all the hate in this world and speak forth with love. So do you really want to change the world? Do you? Do you really want to change the world? Then fill your hearts and minds with the truth of God. Because the kingdoms of earth will pass away, but God's kingdom, it's eternal.
Change. And you will no longer think for yourself or think, not for yourself, but think about yourself. And you will never find yourself in the situation where you are motivated out of a dark place, but out of a revelation from God, out of a place of love, of genuine concern for advancing the kingdom of God, for being a blessing to others, to bring about healing and deliverance, to enable those who are in darkness to come to the light. You will see that your desire to see others saved and to come into a knowledge of Christ will increase. Your heart's desire to testify and to share of God will also increase. You will be able to begin to identify things that are from God and of God. And as these things begin to happen, you will begin to see how God is at work. You will begin to rejoice and be thankful. You will have a heart of gratitude. You see, gratitude comes out of a heart of revelation in the love of God. And when you have the love of God operating in you, you can be patient with others. You can work with others. You will be bound together or drawn together. You'll be united with others. The enemy with desire for his people to scatter and to cause division and separation and causes insulation and isolation from the things of God. But when God is at work, everything changes. Everything shifts. Everything begins to flow in God. There's a flow of the Spirit of God. God begins to move. He begins to work. And he begins to cause you to be someone who brings people together. of peace, the Word of God says. The bond of peace is the very tool that God uses in order to keep everything together and unified. In Romans 15, we see in verse 13, he says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound or overflow in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And as we continue on from last week, we talked about how it is the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to have hope. Hope is something that a lot of people need today. People need hope today. People need the ability to see that nothing is impossible with God. They need the ability to see how many famous celebrities killed themselves this week that we saw in the news, and how people are suffering even though they have everything going for them. How is it that people who are wealthy beyond belief have more than what you can ever ask for or imagine in this world, and yet they are miserable? They are suffering because none of these things in the world satisfy. None of these things in the world are the things that will bring peace of mind, that will enable our hearts to be settled. It does not give you hope. In fact, it gets worse. The more you have, the more you have to worry about. And the more you have to try to sustain, the more you have to try to keep, the more you have to try to manage, the more you have to try to keep other people from taking it from you. Hallelujah. So be happy with nothing. Hallelujah. And so, as we are pursuing God, the Holy Spirit gives us peace. The Holy Spirit gives us joy and hope. It is an attribute of God. You know when someone is filled with the Spirit because it just overflows into the expressions on their face. People who are established in God have joy. Unspeakable joy, the Bible says. It says it's stirring so much you can't even explain it to anybody. Hallelujah. I get nervous when I see Christians who can't smile. I'm going to tell you right now, that makes me nervous. I'm watching from way over there. I'm saying, something is not right over there. Something is not right over there. I don't even have to say anything to you. I can look across the room and say, yeah, that is not a right spirit. And that's because when you're filled with the Spirit of God, and it overflows into the expressions on your face. It overflows into your mannerisms, and everything about you begins to shift, begins to change. There is this glow of the Holy Spirit that begins to arise, and it comes from the presence of God. It means that you have been in the presence of God. And when you have spent time in God's presence, then no matter what the situation is that you're facing, there's a stirring inside. And even when you begin to have doubts, something begins to stir and say, I am with you. Don't worry, nothing is impossible. And hope always abounds. It always arises. It always overcomes. And you're always looking for the opportunity for God to manifest himself. So we are a people of hope. We are a people who are digging into God, filling up with the Holy Spirit, with the presence of God, with the Word of God. We are praying without ceasing, and we are asking God to manifest himself in our life, and we're being filled, 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 until eventually we overflow in God, and we just explode with his presence, with his love and his joy, and all of the attributes of God. Why the enemy wants to keep you miserable. He does everything he can to discourage you, to give you the idea that there's no hope. When there's no hope, you quit. When there's no hope, you give up. When there's no hope, you want to die. And that's what happens in the world. And for some reason, we cannot see. Meanwhile, the person next to you is filled with hope. The person next to you has joy. The person next to you has possibilities and potential and is looking to see how God can manifest himself. But when you don't have God, then you have no hope. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians do not have God. and they don't have God. Well, they know about God, and they say they have God, but when you really have God, you have hope.
Hallelujah.
But when you really have God, you have hope. I'm not talking about knowing about God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I like to use the illustration of like George Washington. Everybody who knows George Washington, raise your hand. You all know George Washington. None of you know George Washington. You don't know anything. All you know is about George Washington. Isn't that right? Yeah, you raise your hand because you say, I know George Washington. Well, a lot of people know Jesus the same way. And they're claiming to know Jesus, and they're claiming to be Christians like people know George Washington. Everybody say, oh, yeah, I know George Washington. Yeah, sure you do. George Washington started walking down the street and passed by you, he walked right by you. Say, I don't know that guy. Say, hey, George, it's you. Oh, man, I've read so much about you. Man, you know, I can't believe you still got that boat you crossed the Delaware. And George said, who are you? You're not a guy. You're a lunatic. You're a stalker. You know, and that's the way people know Jesus today. They don't really know Jesus. They just know about Jesus. Why? Because they go to church every week and they hear about him. And oh, they believe that he was really a man who existed. Oh, they believe that he was a great man from God. Oh, they believe he was someone who God used. They believe he died on the cross. All of the right things they believe. All of the facts they believe. All of that. But that does not make you a Christian. All it does is make you a student of history. And there are a lot of Christian students of history. God has called us to know him personally, to have an encounter with God. But where God fills your heart, fills your life, transforms you from the inside out, and when you are born of God, something changes. Something happens within you. There is a stirring. There is the pneuma of God, the ruah of God is breathed into you, and you have life. And all of a sudden, you have the attributes of God stirring within you. You all of a sudden come alive. You have joy and peace and patience. All these things. You have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. You're no longer in pursuit of yourself, but you want to hear from God. You want to see God. You want to know him. And you are crying out to him. And you're praying and you're meditating on his word, saying, God, change me. Make me more like you. Make me new every day. And every day, God pours a little bit of himself within us. And he continuously pours in. And the more we pursue God, the more we seek him, the more we are being changed into his image. And we begin to have joy and peace. Hallelujah. That's how you know a Christian. It says they will know them by their love. Hallelujah. The love of God. It is an attribute. It is an identifying attribute of the Spirit of God working within us. God manifests himself. All of a sudden, there's that irritating experience that just gets right to the core of your nerves. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit is poured out over it. And all of a sudden, you go, yes, God, help me, Lord. And you have peace. And you have the patience of God. And you begin to see God as he comes over you, as he moves upon you. Verse 9 in 1 Thessalonians 3 says, for what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God on your account? And so Paul is rejoicing. He's rejoicing and he's talking about the rejoicing that happens as we see God move in other people's lives. As he recognized what God was doing. He says, as we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. Oh my goodness. There is a desire. There is a desire to see others completed in God. There is a desire. He says, that we may complete what is lacking in your faith. He's asking this question. God wants to complete what is lacking in our faith. God wants to help us to make up the difference. That we are night and day praying earnestly. Did you know that it is the effectual and fervent prayer of the righteous that availeth much? It's not just prayer. It's effectual, fervent prayer. There is a difference. Some people just pray, but other people are effectual and fervent in prayer. And it's the effectual and fervent prayer that avails much. And we must learn how to avail in God. And that means you just get down before God and you cry out from the depths of your heart. Your very soul is yearning for this manifestation that only God can bring. Your desire is to see this transformation and this change take place. He says, now may our God and Father himself and Jesus our Lord direct our way to you. So Paul is desiring to come to them, desiring to get to them so that they can share together. That's what God does. When God is working in your heart and in your life, he gives you a desire to get together with other people who God is doing a work in their life. And there is a unifying bond. I guarantee you that when the Holy Spirit is operating in your life and you are sensitive to the working of the Holy Spirit and someone else has that same dynamic working in them, you have an instant bond. You have an instant bond. You don't even know them. You may not even know who they are. You just see the Holy Spirit in someone, and you know there is a spirit connection. All of a sudden, it's like, booyah. It's like, whoa. Whoa. And I've met people, like when I was working in the city, you know, I would meet people, and I would know that they were Christians. I knew that they were God's people. And I knew because their spirit was just radiating God. And then there were people who said they were Christians, and I had no idea. I couldn't have guessed in a million years. In fact, I didn't guess in a million years because I just assumed they weren't. That's how their lives differ. And those are two different types of people. And those two different types of people are really people who are probably in the same church, hearing the same messages, having the same experiences. But one comes away with the power of God and the other does not. The other one comes away with a history lesson. The other one comes away with an understanding of theology. But when you come away with a knowledge and an experience and an encounter with God, that's what changes people's lives. That is what you need. That is the very thing that causes everything to change in your life. All of a sudden, you are not the same, but you have been transformed. So your desire is to see other people come to know the Lord. Your desire is to see other people experience God. Your desire is to see God manifest himself in the earth, his kingdom to come on earth, even as it is in heaven. The will of God accomplished in everyone. It says that may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you. This is what God does in our life. He causes us to overflow in love for each other. The love of God, the patience of God, and even when people do us wrong, even when things don't go the way we would expect it to go, something comes over us, and the peace of God, the Holy Spirit, enables us to see that God is doing something. Hope is always there. Possibility is always there, and we must be possibility thinkers. We must be people who can see and understand that God is doing something. God did not bring you as far as he did to leave you where you are. God has brought you from where you are to where you are now, from where you were to where you are now, so that you can see what he is doing. He's bringing about a change in our lives. He's transforming us. He's molding us. He's shaping us. He's building us up. And the enemy of our souls will do everything he can to get you off that track. All the things that you've experienced until now, God has molded you and shaped you. But Satan will do everything he can to get you to forget, to get you to turn away from the path that you're on. You're already on the right path, and sooner or later, he brings you to an intersection of indecision and where you feel like you just need to change. And when you get to that place, beware. Beware that you don't take the road that leads to destruction, the road that leads to disappointment and discouragement, but that you stay on the path that God has established you on. Stay on the path that leads to righteousness and that leads to the way of the Lord. God is wanting to bring an increase in your life. And the more you walk with God, the more you increase. The more you walk with God, the more you will increase. I'm not talking about financially. I know a lot of people talk about financial increase, but and there is a part of that that is true. But it's bigger than that. The increase in God is in the magnitude, the fullness of who you are as a person, as someone who is walking with God, the essence of God in you. You begin to grow, you expand, you become bigger so that you can include other people into your life. The most powerful tool that you have is your ability to bring and speak life. If you are a person who speaks life, who can see when other people are talking nonsense and saying how things are going wrong and this is a problem and that's a problem, you're the person who's able to see through all of that. Yeah. See, that's the person who is filled with hope. That is the person who has spent time with God. The only reason people can see the things of darkness is because that's where they are. You see, when you're in the dark, you adjust to the dark. Isn't that right? When you're in the dark, you adjust to the dark. So as you are interacting with people and you're going through things and you're trying to get things done, well, you're going to be so attuned to the darkness that you can't see what's really going on. And when the Holy Spirit is at work in you, he shines the light. Shines the light. He says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You're like, you're the lamp on the lampstand. God raises you, and you're able to see. Even in the darkness, God gives you light. Hallelujah. He gives you light so that no matter what the situation, no matter how dark it looks, you're able to see the light that enables hope to appear. And you can see that glimmer of hope, and you can feed it. You can feed that hope, and you can minister life to that hope, and you can speak to the hope, and the hope will grow. See, if you feed darkness, darkness intensifies and increases. And there are a lot of people who are weak-minded, and they flow with the lowest common denominator. Remember that in math? Remember when you were in math class? You know, they had the lowest common denominator, and everything was based on the lowest common denominator. That's how the world is. And that's how people are. People tend to gravitate. All you need is one person to complain about something, and then other people will come out of the woodwork. Oh, yeah, 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 oh, yeah. Right? That's lowest common denominator. Lowest common denominator. Because people who are low have the ability to reach up and pull other people down. But when you are soaring in God, all you see is the potential in God. All you can see is what God is about to do. Because you're not looking down. You're not worried about what's beneath you. You're looking at up. You're looking at what God is doing. And you see how God is reaching down. And God is trying to build up. And he's trying to pull in. But if you're not careful, somebody's going to grab your foot. And they're going to pull. And they're going to begin to try to cause you to get off track. And they're going to try to take you down a path that is not of God. But when you're filled with God, you begin to see from God's perspective. You begin to hear the voice of the Spirit. And you begin to recognize when something is not of God, when someone is not of God. And when things begin to operate and begin to flow, we begin to see the potential and the possibilities, and we remember and we rejoice in God. That's why we have joy. We have joy because we can see what God has done in our life. We can see where he's brought us from. We can see what he's doing. We can see the potential. We can feel his very presence. Hallelujah. That only comes from abiding in the Word. That only comes from meditating on the Word of God. Just soaking it in and just allowing God to speak to you for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours maybe. As long as you watch TV. Hallelujah. You could be soaking in God. You could be absorbing his presence. You could be filling up on the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah. It says, so that he may establish your hearts without blame in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Hallelujah. You see, God is preparing us so that we can be blameless and holy before him. So that we can be clean and we can be righteous before him. And when the Lord comes, at the second coming of Jesus, when he returns, we can be amongst the saints of God. We will be amongst the saints of God. I don't know about you, but you can't worry about anybody else. You got to worry about yourself. You got to make sure your own soul is right. Your own way of thinking is right. Once you are right with God, once you are filling up and applying the principles of God's word in your life, God will cause you to speak out of that overflow. That overflow will be the very thing that unctions you. It'll be the thing that directs you. It'll be the thing that orders your steps and the thing that enables you to say what needs to be said at the right time and the right place. God will overflow from within you and you will speak as of the oracles of God. That's out of the overflow of God. But whatever you're filled with, that's what comes out of you. Whatever you're full of, that's what comes out of you. And if you're filled with God, then the Spirit of God, the Word of God, the manifestations of God, they all come out of you. Psalm 65:9 says, you visit the earth and cause it to overflow. You greatly enrich it. The stream of God is full of water. You prepare their grain, for thus you prepare the earth. For this reason, God is preparing the earth, the psalmist says. And he says that God is bringing this stream of God, and it's full of water. Water represents the Word of God. Water represents God's cleansing power, how he washes us with the Word of God. Do you want to be changed? Do you want to be transformed? Do you want to be made new? Then you need the Word of God. It is living water. As you read it, as you meditate on it, day and night, it washes through you. It helps you to see things that you otherwise did not see. The most difficult thing in any of our lives is when you try to talk to someone to get them to understand something that they have no conception of. You try to get them to understand it, but no matter what you say, they just don't get it. Have you ever dealt with people like that? And that's unfortunate. It's very, very unfortunate. But there are only things that God can reveal to us through his word. And if you're not in the word, you will not even grasp the concept of what it's even saying. You won't even be able to relate in any way. All you'll see is why you can't do what the word of God says. Why you can't apply the principle that God is saying if you apply it, it will change your life. The one thing that changes your life. Do you know why people who win the lottery, the majority of them, are broke in 5 years? Because the mentality. The mentality didn't change. Oh, their bank account changed, but their mentality didn't change. And therefore, they lost what they had. And that's what God is trying to change. God is trying to change our mentality so that we can experience the fullness of God. Verse 10 says, you water its furrows abundantly. You settle its ridges. You soften it with showers. You bless its growth. This is what God is doing in our lives. He says, this is what he us, we too are being watered. And it's by the word of God. It's the word of God that causes everything in the universe to even exist. That's how powerful the word of God is. And what God did was he gave it to us in a written form so that we can experience in the natural a powerful spiritual transformation. So the Bible is not just another book of historical and literal lessons that we study as we would any other book in a library. But the Word of God is a book of power, and it is a book of transformation. It's a book that brings revelation, and it changes your life. It is very food for your soul. And without it, your soul will dry up and become carnal. And without the life that comes from the Word of God, you will never change. You will still have a secular mentality. You will still be the same gritty person that you were before you got saved. And that same mentality will still be with you. But as you abide in the Word of God, we are changed. As we abide in the very essence of who God is pray, that as we pray, as we seek the face of God, we are transformed. And we begin to experience the water and its furrows. We begin to abundantly experience it. We begin to have our hard edges, our ridges, smoothed out, settled. And God begins to soften us with showers. Everybody likes a good shower, at least every once in a while. Hallelujah. And that shower, it just refreshes you. And it blesses you. And that's what the Word of God does as we meditate on it. And it says that you have crowned the year with your bounty and your paths drip with fatness. Hallelujah. Here's a place where fatness is good, right? You want to abound in the fatness of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Everybody likes a little fatness. Hallelujah. And a little bit of fatness in God is good for your soul. God fills you up. He's filling you up. And he's causing you to overflow in God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The bigger you are, the more you can hold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so you need to fill up on God. You need to fill up on God. Spend time in his presence. Spend time in prayer. Ask God to fill you up. And as you do, you will overflow in God. The pastures of the wilderness drip, and the hills gird themselves with rejoicing. You will have joy, unspeakable joy. You will be able to experience the glory of God. And even when you have to bring correction, you'll bring it with a smile. Hallelujah. Why? Because joy is stirring in your heart. Joy is stirring in your heart. And even when you want to be angry, you can only be but so angry. Isn't that right? Because deep down, that joy bell is ringing. And it's hard to be angry when you got the Holy Spirit going, woo-hoo-hoo, hallelujah, on the inside. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He continues to work within us. He begins to stir within us. Oh, it's not a knowledge in our head. It begins there, but it goes down into your heart. And when your heart is changed, when your heart has been touched and renewed in God, everything begins to change. And verse 13 says, the meadows are clothed with flocks, and the valleys are covered with grain. They shout for joy. Yes, they sing. Isn't this what we do as the people of God? Oh, when you get happy in God, you start to shout. You start to sing. All of a sudden, a song comes to your heart. All of a sudden, joy comes. You start to bless the Lord. You begin to praise him. You begin to worship him. Oh, you just experience the fullness of his glory. And that's what the Christian life is all about. That's what we do as the people of God. You fill up on God because you know the devil is waiting for you. Oh, yes, he is. He's waiting to get on your nerves. He's waiting to cause you to be upset. And I tell you what, you fill up on God. So when you encounter that opposition, you can pour a little water on him. You can flow out the streams of life, the stream of the Word of God, and you can bring hope to to any situation. You can bring possibility to any circumstance. You will be able to see that nothing is impossible with God, because you are filled with the Spirit of the Lord. You are able to overcome. Psalm 69, 13 says, "But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, at an acceptable time, O God, in the greatness of your loving kindness, answer me with your saving truth." The truth of God will save you. He will deliver you from oppression and bondage. It will set you free from negative perceptions. It will set you free from a lack of hope. God will make a way even when it seems impossible. He says, "Deliver me from the mire and do not let me sink. May I be delivered from my foes and from the deep waters." You see, God wants to keep us. He will sustain us. And as we flow in God, as we move in God, God makes a way. He says, "May the flood of water not overflow me, nor the deep swallow me up, nor the pit shut its mouth on me." 1 John 4, 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another." Hallelujah. Because love is from God. And that's what God is doing. Everything he does, he wants to sustain us. He keeps us from the pit. He keeps us from being overwhelmed and overtaken by situations and circumstances. He gives us a stirring of hope. And that's because he loves us. It's because he cares for us. It's because he knows that one day we shall be like him.
Hallelujah.
God can be patient because he knows not what you are, but what you will be. What you are about to become. And even as one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day, God says, "I'll just wait patiently. I will wait patiently because one day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000-year reign goes by as if it was one day." God says, "I am bigger than eternity. I am able to sustain you. I am able to wait." He says, "Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And the one who does not love does not know God, because God is love." God is love. And so may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do.